as I spoke to you just a few minutes ago, that your eternal purpose has wired within it the power of your potential that will never be released until you begin to walk in your God-given passion. And the level of your kingdom assignment has that level of provision connected to it to fulfill God's purpose for your life. I know we've all been taught that we can speak to money and we can call ourselves millionaires, trillionaires, and all that other kind of thing. And it basically has some validity to it. But I'm here to tell you, if your level of call doesn't warrant a trillion, you're not getting it. You wouldn't know what to do with it if you did. You just think you do because you want money. It would trip you up if you had more than what God designed for you to have. Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, our foundational scripture again today. We're lifting up verse 19 and 20, and then we're going forward and receive impartation from Holy Ghost on today. Galatians chapter 2. In the Amplified, verse 19 and 20, if you don't have an Amplified Bible, it will be on the screens, and we ask that you would read it together with me. Please put it on the screen, verse 19 and verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2. Let's read together. For I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, the Apostle Paul is saying that there is a curse connected to this Old Testament law. All right. When the Apostle Paul wrote this, there was no New Testament. He said, for I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, there's a curse connected to the law, have in Christ's death for me. He died for me. What happened? Myself died to the law. When Jesus died on the cross for me, I myself died to the law, or I died to the curse. And all the laws or the curses demands upon me, so that I may what? Henceforth or going forth in my life do what? Live to and for God. So the power of the curse through the Lord's substitutionary sacrifice has been broken over my life. And therefore I can make a choice to henceforth live to and for God. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. So the apostle says when Jesus was crucified on that cross, as far as heaven is concerned, I was also crucified with him. And in him, I shared his crucifixion. Everything that happened to him from the cross to the throne, heaven recognizes that it happened to me. He didn't die as himself. He died as me. He didn't sin, so he didn't need to die for himself. He died for me. You ought to put your name in there. So what? It is no longer I who live. It's not the old man. It's not the, come on now, the old nature. It is not the old Cheryl that lives anymore. Glory to God. It's no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah or the anointed one, the Son of God, lives where? In me. So how I live my life now is not the way Cheryl has done it in the past or would do it, but I'm living my life based on the Christ nature that lives in me. And the what? The life I now live. In the body, in this body, while I'm on earth, I live by faith in adherence to, I live by reliance on, I live by complete trust in who? the Son of God, because where does he live? He lives in me. As he is in this world, so am I. Glory to God. So in this body, I live by faith in who? The Son of God, Christ, the anointed one. And every single thing that he has authority over, glory to God, I now live my life in him. Who what? Loved me and gave himself up for me. He died as me so that I can live as him. Oh God. Hold on to your seats today. I'm going to ask God to help me not to give y'all everything I know all at one time. My brain is going 100 miles an hour because I've learned so much in the last few days. Most of us already understand that the definition of the word identification means to put oneself in the place of another. And because God made everybody that has come through the womb of a woman, whether they follow him or they don't follow him, he created them in his image and likeness. Come on, somebody. And through a fallen nature, they have forgotten who they really are. We get born again so we can awaken to who we really are. That's also a process. And it's based a lot on where you go to church and what word you're receiving, whether or not the mysteries of the word is being unlocked to you, truth is being taught to you. So you can still be born again and still live as the old man. Are you saying anything? Yeah. And so the Lord showed me that the majority of our young people in this dispensation or generation are looking for that, their identity, and they don't know about God. So they're trying to find themselves outside of God. And guess what? They're coming up empty-handed. There's no life outside of God. Are you with me so far? So identification means to put oneself in the place of another. But there's a dual meaning to that. Jesus put himself in the place of us and became sin. But at the same time, we identify with him and we put ourselves in the place of him. And we identify ourselves in him. That's a good thing. The law, the supernatural law of identification is what I'm talking about today. We ended on last Sunday reading a lot of Romans 6, and then I shared with you my encounter with the Holy Spirit concerning a revelation that he taught me concerning hell. How many remember that revelation on last week? It brought a multitude of people to the altar. It was a good word. It was a word that set us on hollow fire. It was a word that made us check ourselves out. Yeah. There was a great supernatural move at the altar on last Sunday concerning the revelation of hell that the Holy Spirit gave me. I believe that we are beginning to understand from Romans 6 that a born-again believer has not only died with Christ and was buried with him, but as far as heaven is concerned, we also suffered already, hallelujah, with Christ in hell when he suffered in hell, not only for us, but as us. That piece is important. You need to ask God to give you great revelation. Until you understand that you already suffered with him, you will accept every suffering that the enemy gives you. If you don't already have revelation that you already died with Christ, you will fear death. It's important that we allow Holy Spirit to teach us, to give us revelation of what this spiritual law of identification is. This is why we don't have to go to the lake of fire, as I talked about last week, which is the federal prison of eternity, for every human that refuses to have a nature change in Christ. Somebody say, I need a nature change. Oh, it's not enough just for me to go to church, y'all. Y'all better come on up in here. It's going to be many that Jesus is going to say in that day, I never knew you, though you sat in church and you used my name. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He's going to say, I never knew you because you didn't have a nature change. That's how we're going to be identified. And whether or not we truly are born again is because our nature is not the same. You can't say Jesus has stepped on the inside of me. My old man has died. And I'm living the newness of life, and I still act the same way. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but I'm going to keep on preaching till you say amen loud. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Scripture revealed to us in Romans 6, as we studied on last week, that a born-again believer can make this declaration every day of our lives. We died on the cross with Christ to our old sin nature. We were buried with Christ when he was buried. We suffered in hell with Christ when he suffered. And we were made alive with Christ through his resurrection power to a new life in him. Now, I received a gift from one of my sons who we know very well in this church. And God has used him many times to come here and to deposit a revelation, an impartation. Glory to God. God has used him to break some things. The last time he was here, I believe, he taught us on dealing with the spirit of witchcraft of knees. Thank you, Holy Ghost. My mouth going faster than my brain. Witchcraft of knees, the Apostle Francis mouth. Well, he sent me his brand new book. And of course, you know, he thinks I'm his favorite woman apostle in the whole world. So he wrote that in there. He also put me in his acknowledgments, and he said, Apostle Cheryl Fortson, I want to acknowledge her as being one who, through her teachings and personal conversations with me over the years, have added to the richness of this book. That honored me tremendously. I texted him on this week, and I told him, I said, you already know I'm going to teach it. He already knows. He knows it. He know I'm going all over the country. Wherever he don't go, I'll go, and I'll say it. He knows that because I recognize that he is an apostle to the body of Christ. And I recognize because everything he teaches, he backs it with the word. And he is always on the cutting edge, always, glory to God, pulling me and yanking me to another level in my thinking. So he wrote a book, and you want to get it. It's called Breaking Generational Curses Under the Order of Melchizedek. You know, he came and deposited the revelation of Melchizedek to us. Glory to God. God had been giving me some things concerning tithes and offerings and those things. And he came and he filled in all the missing pieces several years ago. Well, now he's talking about how important that priesthood is to the breaking of generational curses and why so many of us have been to the altar many times and we still have the same curse. And it's the generational curses that are keeping us from going forward in God. It's not as much about what you think as it is what's in wired on the inside of you that's tripping you up. Like Apostle Paul, you can say, you know, I have a desire to do good, but there's evil always lurking inside of me. I love the word of God, but I find myself going right back to the same sins over and over again. Do I have anybody that will say amen? Amen. It's because that thing wasn't broken under the order of Melchizedek. And when he came here and he began to teach that Jesus is Melchizedek of the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, that's where we get our tithing. Glory to God. I want to say the order of our tithing falls under the New Testament, not Malachi. Malachi, if we understand or remember the teaching, is under the old Levitical law, priesthood. And it was only temporary until Jesus came and established the new priesthood. And so in the New Testament in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus Christ being the order of Melchizedek. And if you remember the teaching, you will also know that when they did the genealogy of Melchizedek, that he had no record of a mother or a father. And you and I know that all of our bloodline curses come through our mother and father. And so because there was no genealogy trace, Jesus's divinity was directly, glory to God, connected to, hallelujah, a bloodline that had no curses connected to it. That's why you and I have to learn how to identify with him. Hallelujah. Because there's no curses in his bloodline. Now, in his humanity line, they cannot connect him to any genealogy curses because he didn't have human blood. So in his humanity, he has a flawless DNA. And you and I better learn how to connect with him if we want to walk free of every curse that our parents committed. Because those curses, definitely, the Bible said, will come down some 3-4 generations and some 1,000 generations. And some of us can't get from underneath those curses until we learn how to connect. with the genealogy of Melchizedek through our Lord.